Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen, Studio A. Over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how you doing on a nice, crisp, cool night in the Twin Cities?
Hey, can't complain, Don. Looks like early fall, but the temperature's going to be back up to the 60s, 67, 68 in the next couple of days. Well, we won't really see this kind of weather on a permanent basis until probably, I would say, the second week in November. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we got a couple more weeks. We got a while, in my estimation. A lot of stuff going on. We'll be talking tonight. We're going to be on for an hour. We'll be talking tonight about an explosive situation that has uncovered how so many African Americans who are so much into technology and websites and et cetera are being monitored. And we've got an exclusive here on the Don and Ron program of a situation that has led to the deaths of at least 5 of the 6 African Americans who were leaders in the protest in Ferguson, Missouri. But anyways, let's go first. My associate, Mr. Allen, has uncovered, once again, documentation that has to do with monies that we have been told was available and was being poured into the African-American community and et cetera, former school board, school district employee who was selected to carry the big story, if you will, has kind of got caught out there. Don, what have we got, man? Explain to our listening audience what we've got.
Well, if you know, earlier this year after the legislative session, Governor Dayton, first he started out with $100 million, then he started out with $70 million, then it went to $50 million, and eventually it went to $35 million, Mr. Edwards, that was to be put on the streets for the African-American community to kind of stem off the generational disparities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a number of RFPs, requests for proposals, went out from me, from D, the Department of Employment Economic Development, out of St.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And so these RFPs, some of them
were
answerable.
Agency, by the way,
on
a state agency, a certified state agency. Gotcha. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so what's happening is a lot of people that never applied for grants before are applying for grants, and they're being called and told that based on the point system that you don't qualify, that you will not be getting this money. In the meantime, we have really successful agencies in terms of like getting people in the school and getting them work clothes, bus tokens. Their water's getting cut off. All these things are happening despite these employees coming out to the site and praising these people, especially in North Minneapolis. What a great job you're doing for your community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so there's not money coming in, and people who are thinking they're going to get the money are not getting the money. The list officially, I guess, does not come out till tomorrow. But from what I'm being told from many sources inside of secretly, surreptitiously inside of DEED is that the African-American community is being bypassed. Money is going to the Somali community and the Native American community. Well, rightly so on the Native American community, but you know, Governor Dayton did make a point. This was his big stomping thing that he was going to get money into the black community for, you know, agencies, black businesses, et cetera. And Ms. Edwards, I just have a feeling that the people that are reviewing this are all white folks because none of this money is really coming in.
Thank you. Now, I understand that the announcements were supposed to be made like September and October. Give us the breakdown on the particular periods that had been legally designated that you had to have your applications in, because you had to have a series of applications in September and then now, and what you're saying is that the September report will indicate nothing for the African-American community. Am I correct or am I off base?
You are correct, and there's a couple of RFPs out. You know, Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges had her department of something or another, equity, put out a RFP for approximately $900,000 to be put on the street. And that was due in September, but we haven't heard anything about those dollars at all whatsoever, and I've been actively searching. Now,
okay.
Dean had a thing, a grant called Pathway to Prosperity, kind of like the Minneapolis Urban League under Scott Graves, Gateway to Opportunity, whatever he's calling it now.
Yeah,
you know, sitting
right,
on $100,000 from the Bush Foundation, you care less what it says. But anyway, Deed has the Pathway to Prosperity, the training grant, a couple other different grants where they want to get people trained. And what they're doing, Mr. Edwards, is they're making it statistically impossible for an agency like Education Explosion or a couple other agencies, especially in North Minneapolis, to access the money, because you can train people until they turn blue in the face. If those people aren't being hired within their communities, they're not going to get any work. And so you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Either way, I mean, and I've talked to people that have applied for these grants, and they were called that based on the point system. Now, mind you, when you do these grants, you have to have 10 copies, got to have it in for a certain time, and you got to drop it off. And like I said, Mr. Edwards, I've been told by insiders, because I was actually going to help a young lady do a grant, and I just knew that there was no money coming even that way in September, that we had a better chance at, you know, October, and she kind of cut ways, but that's okay, because now we find out the real story, what's happening. And it's shameful, but that's what it is. The money is not coming in. We haven't seen it. And except for the mayor's husband's $2.4 million and emerged with $4.5 million, haven't seen anything else.
Well,
so that's kind of the situation.
So we're sure that our listening audience locally understands. You just mentioned Gary Cunningham, his organization, and you specifically mentioned Mike Wynn of Emerge. Mike Wynn is the Caucasian director of the nonprofit. Now, go back over that piece of money, because all summer long I heard that they being Emerge, were negotiating with a whole large group of young African-American leadership that deal with at-risk youth. And, in fact, we had a caller last week, Lisa Marie, that reminded all of us that there were supposed to be monies for young African Americans coming out of school in the first week in June, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, to work. And, you know, oftentimes over the years you've talked about how, as a young man growing up on the south side of Minneapolis, that means you've been here for a long time, working at the McDonald's and places like that. So what has happened to that, the money to Emerge? I mean, why wasn't that money allocated? And what is the point of that, by the way?
Yeah, well, okay, to answer your first question is, like, no one really knows why the money isn't allocated. And then I've sent emails, and I got to one point where a young lady that works at Deed said she'd like to sit down and have coffee and talk. And then all of a sudden, I sent her email again, let's set it up. Nothing, just complete silence, call, left messages, no return phone calls. So I'm at odds with the agency myself, as they're dealing with, you know, they do have a black insider that is the face of Deed for the Negroes, but she seems not to be really efficient competent. And so
now she was the former staff person for Governor Mark Dayton, right?
No, this is another person. No, this is someone under her. Under her that works for her agency. I know who you're talking about.
There
I can't remember her name right off.
Gotcha.
Yes. Know who you're talking about. Governor Dayton appointed her former as the head of Deed. But this is one of the what I call Beatles, one of the little people that work within side of Deed. And so it's not doing good. And the point system. Now, to give a grant out, you have to meet certain criteria. Okay. They could feel, first of all, we don't know who's sitting at the table, Mr. Edwards, monitoring or deciding who gets points and who does not get points. So that seems to be a problem. Secondly, say that you write a grant and you spell there, T-H-E-R-E, like the other there, which meaning people, and they don't like the way you write, or they're not accustomed to what you're talking about.
Oh, or they don't like your grammar?
They don't like your grammar.
Okay.
Yeah, you're subject to...
Just cut in. You get a reduction on your point system, and if you get enough reductions, then you fall below the line, right? And so
they don't even have to accumulate
enough points.
They don't even have to. Yeah, they don't even have to look through the whole grant, the service. They can just look at a piece of it and get to the point where, okay, they're below 40%. Let's move on to the next one.
But also,
you know, you need to look at, again, we don't know who's sitting at the table. You know, who actually is, what employees of Deed are making these decisions for the black community that have no relationship with the black community? You know, and that's what, Mr. Edwards, you and I have been trying to get people to understand for a long time, and they tell us we're hooping and hollering, and, you know, the Council on Black Minnesota,
yeah,
which I'm
going to
keep calling they had a little event with James Burrell, who is the governor's equity guy now, and, you know, saying that they want more black people to apply for jobs. They want to do business with, and it's all
show and
tell. This is
the same James Burrells that handled so well the inclusion of African Americans on the construction of the beautiful school district's headquarters there at 1250 West Broadway, right in the heart of poverty.
That's
the same James, right?
Mr. Edwards. Yeah, that's the same James. That is the same
James.
Oh,
okay.
And Sir James Burrell.
It was a total failure, but go ahead.
yeah, it was, and there's so much, you know, out from the outside looking in, you know, people from Chicago, Omaha, Detroit, West Coast and East Coast look in and say, wow, Minnesota must be the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but once you get here and you find out what's really going on, it's just like the stadium. You hear about all these great jobs and you find out that the people that needed the jobs didn't work. And so they didn't work, so there was no money made. So crime is high because people have to survive. When your survival instinct, Mr. Edwards, is forced on, you'll do some dastardly things. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, survival, the need for survival and the quest for survival can create a great danger, which obviously we're facing, and we'll certainly be touching on that a little bit later. Now, let me go back to that the stadium, because there was a three-part series by a writer for the paper, the Spokesman Recorder. And there was this quote which was highlighted, in which a person started talking terms, well, you know, we had people working temps, we had people working part-time, we don't know how many hours they got. Now, come on, we had a guy on here a couple weeks ago saying how, you know, they knew all the hours. We saw the articles in the one of the two black newspapers talking about that. I think the headline went something like what had been left, what profit and prosperity had been afforded. And over the last couple of weeks, the Don and Ron program, we've asked the question, where is all the prosperity? Because with all the prosperity that we have, why do we have all this violence? And no one wants to really answer that. In fact, the statement in the last edition of that paper was, Viking Stadium payoff, what's the return so far? And it's amazing that when you see it, the only return is a statement by somebody with no documentation to support it. And we've
exactly.
talked about that time and time again. And, in fact, on this program, we talked about it for over 3 years. So we're not talking in terms of two guys that just came to the county dance, if you will. So I just kind of want to support my colleague that I'm just trying to figure out here what appears to be another disaster in the making. And I think some of that will be shown as early as tomorrow when, as you pointed out earlier on this program, the documentation and factual information has to be made known to the public. Am I correct?
You are correct. You are correct.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, hopefully we will have on some other programs that are around town, folks indicating that to be true. Now, the reason I said that, Mr. Allen, is that a television program was on the air here last night in our city on the Minneapolis Television Network, and a talk show host on that program that's been on for a couple years periodically comes on, was extremely critical of Mr. King and Mr. Hightower and others in his denunciation of them. And the fact that they were not telling the truth about the least perception of economic prosperity for the African American community, I was really kind of surprised. I thought everybody was in lockstep and riding the same wagon down the hill. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the night.
Yeah.
would have that
absolutely.
Night. Yep.
Yeah. So we certainly look forward. Now you'll be posting something on your website when the numbers come out sometime tomorrow.
Oh, immediately, yes. As soon as I see it, Mr. Edwards, I'm going to stop, drop, and roll and get it posted. Because
okay,
this is an important piece for our listeners.
You know, community has a right to know and should know, if you will, about, again, these opportunities of prosperity and et cetera in our community. I mean, again, I'm looking at conversations that are taking place, meetings that are allegedly going on, articles being written. By the way, this commentator was the one who sounded the alarm 3 years ago that there weren't going to be any black folk working on the Viking Stadium, and that has come to fruition, if you will. What else we got, Don? You know, because we're waiting for the DEED information to come forward pretty quick.
Yes. That's what we're waiting for. Deed. We're waiting for deed. Well, you know, Mr. Edwards, earlier we alerted people on our website and on social media that there had been an arrest made in the killing of the baby and the boy in South Minneapolis. And I think we were the first ones to even put that on social media.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
I'm not mistaken.
And I will provide additional information at this particular time. 17-year-old juvenile. Of course, was taken into custody early this morning. Again, this is Wednesday. And has confessed, by the way. We assume that major media will, I guess, get around to having that in tomorrow morning's edition of the paper. But for purposes of timeline, this program, in fact, is giving exclusive information. What is so sad about this, and again, this is exclusive coming from this program, is that the double homicide, which included an 8-month-old infant child, shot dead because the child was shot in the chest and with that kind of ammunition and weapon and et cetera, was probably dead on impact. But there happened to be a ambulance crew less than 100 yards away when the shooting took place, and that crew is to be commended because they actually arrived, extricated the baby. It was quite clear to them that Mr. Christensen, the 20-year-old, was deceased already. They took the baby into the emergency vehicle and rushed the 2 blocks from Stewart Park to Children's Hospital. They thought that maybe the triaging would possibly save the baby's life, but it is my thinking, based on consultation that I've had, that actually the baby succumbed at the point that he was hit in the mass part of his body. Accommodations really to the MPD. I mean, I know that some folks don't like to do that, you know, that you say the police did anything well, but my position is that if they do, then you are obligated to tell the truth. And so the work done by a couple of detectives, homicide detectives, was just outstanding in coming up with the necessary physical evidence, which was augmented by some forensic evidence, which I will not discuss at this particular point, by some forensic evidence. But it was the technical evidence that helped them to find the automobile that the gunman was riding in. And then members of the community there on the 11th Avenue, in and around the 2600, 2500, up to the 2100 community, came out with the necessary information. Also, I want to give recognition to the Paramount Chief and one of the longtime advocates and leaders of the Native American community, Mr. Clyde Belcourt, who, if not for his actions and the actions of other elders, we could have had a serious confrontation based on race between blacks and reds, if you will, There was a shooting Monday night in retaliation to the death of Mr. Christensen, who was a member of, and this is public information, so we are not slandering him in any way, that he was a member of a native indigenous gang, if you will, had just been released from prison in June. There'll have to be additional information that should be imparted to the community by the police and by the family and et cetera. We will, again, not go into that out of respect and deference to this terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy. This is the second infant that has been shot and killed in this city in the last 4 months, and is the fourth infant, below the age of two, that has been brutally murdered, if you will. And so that is some of the background, Mr. Allen, as to tonight's program for our listening audience domestically and internationally. Proportionally, we're right up there with Chicago with regards to the number of infants and juvenile children and et cetera that are being shot, wounded, beaten to death, and et cetera in our city at this very time. And so consequently, that's the reason that Mr. Allen and myself have been raising the question for the last number of programs on at what point do we get a better understanding with all this prosperity why there is so much crime. By the way, we will give this exclusive also tonight. The murder took place because of a $250 debt.
Wow.
Yeah. We repeat that again. Life, the loss of two lives, and all lives are important and precious, but an eight-month-old child who is as innocent can be lost his life because of a misunderstanding over a $250 debt. Well, that meant that we had two lives that were worth $125 apiece, right,
yeah.
Mr. Allen, if you understand what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. It just makes me sick thinking about it, and I just, I always think back to the school system. There's no conflict resolution, and if some kid, some juvenile gets a hold of a gun and gets pissed off, allegedly maybe a drug dealer
mm-hmm.
or something like that,
mm-hmm.
that he
mm-hmm.
would go, he or she would go kill someone, take someone's life. This is not
yes.
TV or video games.
That's right.
And it's
just
deplorable. Just deplorable. I can't even believe that. It makes
yes.
me sick.
Well,
I
want to repeat
Steven.
Again exclusively here that it was over a $250 debt. And so, that comes out to 100. I repeat again for the purposes of math. That comes out to $125 a life. And last time I looked, lives were much more not only precious, but financially much more important than that. But, people have said that, I don't know, there are some folks, if they're poor or of other races and et cetera, that their right of survival is irrelevant. And I certainly don't agree nor concur in any shape, form, or fashion. But that is the update on this tragedy, the most recent of what has become a series of infants being gunned down. And isn't that sad? I mean, 8 month and 2-year-old babies. And by the way, one of the first people to come to the vigil yesterday was the mother of the 2-year-old child gunned down on Penn and Laurie in July of this year. She came with her daughter, who was shot and wounded in that violent exchange, reaching out to the mother of the deceased 8-month-old child. But again, people need to have an appreciation of the role that was played by Paramount Chief and Elder Clyde Belcourt of the Native American community, because if he had not stepped forward and called counsel, if you will, if you know what I'm saying, we could have had some real problems here in this city. But the assailant, the assassin, is in custody, 17 years old.
Not good. Not good at all.
Mr. Allen, I want to take this opportunity also, as we're coming up on the half-hour mark, because you had made mention, we both kind of had MTN, the Minneapolis Television Network,
yes.
We have seen the appointment for the first time in the 27-year history of that organization, a person of color, an African-American woman. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked to find out last night that the young lady in question, and Ms. Wells, has been accused of being a racist by Somali leaders in this city. And, in fact, there will be a discussion at a city council meeting maybe tomorrow, as early as tomorrow. I'm not quite sure. But a 23-page letter was sent by Somali leaders indicating that she was unfit for the position and should not have been appointed, and that she is a racist and has acted against the best interest of the Muslim community. Or were you aware of any of that?
No, and this is someone I've known, Mr. Edwards, for in excess of 15 years. And, you know, she was a former executive director of Women's Venture and was very successful. So she kind of stepped aside and, you know, did her own thing and went back to school and, you know, did what she wanted, did her own career path. So I find this highly unusual. And I've seen her in professional settings and social settings. And, you know, I've never, you know, she's Umgawa Black Power, as far as I'm concerned. And this letter is 23-page letter is of no consequence to my my salutations for her actions, you know, anywhere she's worked. Period.
Well, I have spoken. I have spoken highly of her. I've actually known her all of her life. Her family, her father, mother, uncles, and etc. We all grew up together. So I declare my possible conflict of interest. In other words, I knew her, you know, the day she was born. You know what I'm saying? Her father, who was a resident of Omaha, Nebraska, who had come here to actually further a career and etc. Her mother, and is a part of the Jackson family of North Minneapolis that came out of the so-called Minnesota Minneapolis public housing. A family etched in a strong history of civil rights and et cetera on behalf of everybody, including those newly arrived in America, if you will. But,
ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Ding, yes. But she is under attack, though I understand she does have the support and the respect of the council president, the very powerful Barb Johnson. But I was just shocked. I was just shocked, particularly given how I'm able to see Somalis and others of the Muslim faith operate and be able to operate at MTN, the Minneapolis Television Network, and to jump on the first person of color that has ever been appointed to head up the Minneapolis Television Network. These folks would choose to go on the attack in the manner that they have. I was just so disappointed, Mr. Allen. And appreciate your observations and comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, if we look back here less than 5 years ago, when Ed McDonald was appointed as the executive director of the Council on Black Minnesotans, there was an uproar.
Which has since changed his name. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, there was an uproar in the Somali community because a young lady that had been working there for excess of, 15 years or so, if not more, did not get the position of executive director. And so, I mean, we've seen this before, and in this is part of you know how everyone has to be so politically correct and not offend anybody and do all this stuff a certain way, and people waffle, and they know that these people waffle. So a lot of these white folks waffle when, you know, one group or another group doesn't like something, and they normally get their way. And I think that's what's happening to Ms. Wells now, even though, you know, she has the support of a lot of people, including other Somalian people. But it's terrible that this is going on because, like you said a couple seconds ago, that, you know, they operate in MTN, you know, free of restriction.
Absolutely.
And produce some pretty good stuff. And I've seen a lot of it on channel, what, 16, if I'm not mistaken?
And, 16 so and I 17 understand. And channel 75 in Minneapolis on the Minneapolis network, yes. Channel 16, channel 17, and channel 75.
I can't give a complaint against Ms. Wells any credence at all whatsoever. And I mean, if someone's out there they want to call in that have any information, we'd be glad to take that call.
We'll throw out the number or whatever. But let me also take this before we take any calls, because Mr. Allen and I have had a very deep discussion earlier today as we were looking at stories breaking out of the Washington Post and the ACLU in California, who have really pulled the cover off of what appears to be a government-inspired intelligence and espionage program. Oops, there it is again, against African Americans and other minorities. And Mr. Allen and I were trying to do a little research on a company which clearly was put together and is sponsored by the CIA, who does not have a license, or excuse me, let me do it more appropriately, does not have a charter, allegedly, to do business inside of the constitutional boundaries of the United States of America. But clearly, this company in Chicago, Don, did you find any additional information on this company that has shared information, private information, that a lot of black folks and others of color have no idea is being shared? And we have to announce on this program this evening that at least five of the six African-American activists who have been killed in the St. Louis area as an outgrowth of their participation with the demonstrations of 2014, if you will, Michael Brown and et cetera, that assassins were led to them by this company in Chicago. Yeah. I know that would catch the attention of a lot of folks. I repeat again, at least five of the six, if not all six, because the last African-American activist who was the head of an organization, we had a individual call us, a person very familiar with the situation two programs ago. The latest victim was found in a burnt-out car on the banks of the Mississippi River, right across from East St. Louis, Illinois, if you will. He had been, the victim had been tortured and then shot and killed and then burned up in his automobile. Now, this was the sixth similar execution of an African-American activist involved in the Ferguson situation since 2014, as was reported on this program. Two Wednesdays ago. But this story that is now broke confirms information that has been moving about within the African-American sphere of communications, if you will, that the government has pinpointed. You know, in fact, as I understand it, Mr. Allen, with the new technology, they can pinpoint your server and et cetera to within 10 feet of you. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. I have something here out of October 4th, 2016, Los Angeles Times copy from Rutgers. It says, Yahoo, Inc. last year secretly built a custom software program to search all of its customers' incoming email for specific information provided by the U.S. intelligence official, according to the people familiar with the matter. The company complied with classified U.S. government demands, scanning hundreds of millions of Yahoo mail accounts at the behest of the National Security Agency, or FBI, said three former employees and a fourth person apprised of the events. So, yeah, it's right here, and we're going to put it up on the website. They got into a whole bunch of folks' stuff, Mr. Edwards.
Well, let me check the headline that came out of the Washington Post and the press release by the American Civil Liberties Union of California, who have an excellent technology component, which may be the one here. Social sites help police track minorities in protests. Now, what the article in the Washington Post and the press release by the American Civil Liberties Union indicate that at least 500, including here in the Twin Cities, law enforcement agencies were contracting with this firm in Chicago and being provided the most up-to-date information and access to the folks that were involved in communicating through, what do you call it, Don, social media and things such as that?
Social media. Yep, social media.
And
I have the story actually right here, Mr. Edwards, out of the Washington Post, because it has Facebook,
yes,
Twitter, and Instagram sends feeds that help police track minorities in Ferguson and Baltimore, report says.
Yes.
And, yeah, I have it right here in front of me.
And what was the, if you could just give us the name over the air of the company in Chicago, CIA operation.
It's called Geofedia. It's a Chicago-based company that says it analyzes social media posts to deliver real-time surveillance information to help up to 500 law
enforcement
agencies.
Notice, if I could interrupt my colleague, notice the statement in the news release, same time. Right? Is that what it said? Is that how it said it, Mr. Allen?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That help real time. I mean,
excuse
right
me,
away.
Real time.
That's like,
that's
boom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yep,
can
you know,
can move a detection apparatus, maybe even a drone. Oops.
Yeah.
To within 10
right
feet
over
of
you.
Your location as you are texting and et cetera. By the way, we will now indicate that a large number of individuals who were involved in the P4 protest, that's the 4th Precinct protest here in November of last year, after the tragic killing of Jamar Clark in North Minneapolis, many of those folks were identified as a part of this program emanating out of Chicago, Illinois, but then being facilitated as a part of domestic spying. And I do think we may be getting something from WikiLeaks in the next week or so. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. That would be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Mr. Edwards, we have a call.
Oh, let's always get a call. Now, we have 21 minutes left, Don. We don't want anybody to think we're cutting them off. Let's get the caller in.
Yeah. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, this is Mr. M. I'm happy to call in.
Dr. M, how are you, sir?
Very, 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 very good. I'm listening to your program. Sounds just excellent, so riveting. You know, I really, every time I call in or I listen, you know, I don't intend to always call in because I really like to listen to callers and I like to listen to you, gentlemen.
Thank you,
but,
sir.
So when I hear the young lady, the MTN president, you know, being under siege for some, which seems to be an unwarranted reason, I mean, it's clearly a person that is, quite capable to have this position and actually can be a real asset to the community and the station, and before they even get started, someone's trying to cut the legs off from under. And it's so strange because, you know, I used to be a very, well, I still watch, you know, MTN every Sunday at 5 p.m. I would never miss it every Sunday at 5 p.m.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
I used
appreciate
to watch it much more frequently, but now I continue to hear different types of music and different types of things almost on a 24-hour basis that I'm not really interested in.
I was hopeful
that with the new regime coming in, you know, they could kind of get back to the variety of city exposés that they would, you know, that they were known for, actually what they came out of the box with, I thought.
Ooh,
absolutely
on point, sir. 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Baghdadi and those type of people who were really helping individuals kind of put their programs together, and programs seemed to really be growing. You know, they
mm-hmm.
would have a program and it would kind of grow. So it's very, and I think what I'm noticing is what I think is kind of an arrogance on, and I hate to be like, you know, your cohort, Mr. Don Allen, labeled a racist. I wouldn't want to be that, but
dun, dun, dun.
Somebody,
Yes. Hey, gentlemen, before you continue, just let me interject here.
Another breaking news?
I just want to let everybody know we're broadcasting live for Terminal 2 at the airport. And if anybody has any calls, the number is 347-426-3904. Mr. Edwards, I'm going to be walking into the airport, so why don't you and M just continue?
All right, me and M will continue, and then you break back in after your parties arrive from from wherever they're coming.
No,
we won't even identify. Mr. Allen has an entourage coming in. All right, we will.
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. M, let me do this also indicate that last night I completed negotiations with the new executive director. She will be a guest on my program next Tuesday night for airing next Sunday.
So that's
a commitment that I immediately made once I became aware of the fact that she was under attack. I will have her on my program next Sunday. This Sunday, we take a real hard, serious, and heartbreaking look at the double homicide and the death of an 8-month-old baby. But we will be having Ms. Wells. She has confirmed. We negotiated that, and she will be on, and we will have an opportunity to ask her some real tough probing questions. But also we will ask her about her vision, because it's interesting, sir, what you just said before my colleague indicated his departure into the terminal are some of the things that she had already indicated she wanted to do, as well as, of course, be a fundraiser, which she had tremendous success while at Women's Venture for many years. And so she had already indicated to me about a month and a half ago, the first day she really – isn't that interesting what you just said, too? A month and a half ago she was on the job. And she had already indicated some of her thinking and visions. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, because we hadn't really had anything since Pam Colby was forced out. Ms. Colby, who was a very progressive manager and et cetera, wouldn't play the game, you know what I'm saying? And Pam Colby, after a decade, long time, was forced out and has been kind of in flux and chaos and et cetera. But anyways, Ms. Wells had indicated that she wanted to express and lay out her vision, and we're certainly going to do that on our program not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. So I just wanted to get that in.
You know, I don't know what the community – well, I think the community does know, Mr. Edwards. You know, we're really appreciative of you, of the time it takes for you to volunteer your time every week to come into that station and really kind of enlighten the community. So – I really consider your program to be one of the flagship programs of that station, and I really am glad that Ms. Wells has consented to come on to your program. I think that's just a real clear picture that she recognizes that this is a flagship program on this station, and to help her get her message across. So. I never missed it every Sunday anyway. My brother and I both.
Appreciate it. The second day she was at station is when I found out that she had been selected. And I was actually very pleasantly surprised, because my program on MTN is now in its 26 and a half years. I got to tell you, Em.
Congratulations.
I never thought 26 years ago I'd still be doing it. But it grows on you, and it's a part of your blood. But she had said to me that second day of her being aboard that she wanted to like to come on the program. I said, okay, Black Focus. I said, all right. I said, but why don't we do it in October and et cetera. And then in late September, I got a call from Eric Roper of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And he asked me my opinion of her. And, I just thought he was – just doing a job analyzing a new person. Later I was told by my executive producer that he had interviewed my executive producer but had not quoted him, but he had told my executive producer, now this is way back in early September, that there was already opposition to Ms. Wells. And I got to tell you, man, I was just absolutely shocked. And then in conversation and consultation with her last night, a 23-page document of allegations and denunciations and calling her a racist.
Well, is this the appropriate time, or can you say? I mean, obviously, we don't want to take any sides on anything one way or the other, but, I mean, who's behind this? I mean, who's criticizing someone who hasn't even really started or just in the initial stages?
My understanding, as I said earlier, before you joined us, the Somali community, and some of those Somalis are going to have to step up at what is going to be actually a hearing to talk in terms of her request as it pertains to budget considerations, because this entity, MTN, is really going to have to get back on its feet financially, because it has really been drained by monies called franchise fees that should have been allocated over the last 12, 13, 14 years. So you kind of get an idea of who was in leadership role during that particular period. And so, again, I was shocked when I heard that it was a strong contingent of Somalis that were joined by some white progressives who were saying that she was not fit for the job. And I thought, wow, you know. And so I immediately made the determination to request and negotiate, and she quickly complied, changed her schedule, and et cetera. And that's the kind of conversation that we are going to have Sunday after next, if you will, because I just think that the world needs to know that these things are going on, because I just cannot fathom why the Somali or Muslim community, you know, would be so hostile to another person of color. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand what it is.
I don't either. No, I guess I can only, you know, surmise. Like I think I said earlier, you know, and, you know, I've been an avid supporter and, you know, viewer of MTN. Certainly, you know, the Sunday PM time slot is, you know, dialed in. But I used to watch it a lot more frequently, and now when I turn it on, I do see a lot of programs that seem to be, well, you know, Muslim or Somali, which, you know, that's fine. I mean, I think that's the station is for the community. It's a
for the community. That's right.
Community cultural aspects of the community, but there just seem to be kind of a domination of Somali type of music and music programs and social activities and things that, you know, I mean, I'm beginning to sense, and I hate to say it this way, but I'm beginning to sense a type of arrogance on the Somali community, feeling that there's some entitlement to things that are free, things that are accessible to the community. It's kind of like they make sure they're going to be first in line for everything that's out there to be handed out, and without any kind of, I mean, and this is just an observation, and, you know, I certainly, you know, subscribe to everybody participating in this society. I think that's what makes a great world, being able to do that. But I don't know. I think this really points out a real arrogance to me in trying to monopolize the station. So maybe I'm wrong.
I fully concur, and, of course, I've been there for 26 and a half years. And, of course, I'm a volunteer, quote-unquote, to the program and et cetera. We do not seek any sponsorship or et cetera. But I've noticed the same pattern and somewhat disturbing. And yet at the same time, I noticed a certain silence after St. Cloud, as an example. I noticed a certain silence during the trials of those that were alleged to have participated in returning to particularly Syria. And, of course, as those that watched me over the years know, that I am an internationalist, if you will. And so, you know, for somebody out there that may want to try to challenge, you know, yours truly, on foreign affairs, foreign policy, and history, I'm here waiting on you. And I began to see a pattern that troubled me greatly, and I began to see a certain arrogance directed towards those of us in the African-American community that, yeah, that has bothered me for quite some time. And I could not quite understand what was generating this, if you will. But then a couple of weeks ago when the rioting took place over between the 500 and 600 block on Cedar, and both Somali police officers, and they're only six, and African-American police officers were the only targets initially of the crowd, if you will. And I thought, wow, you know, that's ironic, because Somali officers and African-American officers have done nothing but bend over backwards to try to treat our newest immigrants with deference and respect. And I just couldn't quite understand why our people were becoming the targets, quote unquote, of such anger and venom and et cetera. But maybe everyone needs to be served and notified that this attack on Miss Wells is maybe the last straw. You know what I'm saying, Em? It may be the last straw with respect
relationship. I hope so. You know, but again, back to your comments about the Cedar Riverside situation, you know, that really wasn't covered. I mean, I had to really dig kind of deep to find out how, I mean, this was a riot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This was a riot situation over there. I mean.
Absolutely.
Let me check something.
Mr. Allen, are you back with us? Okay. That must have been the NSA. You're still with us, Em? Is that correct?
Yes, I'm still here.
Go right ahead. Finish your reflections.
No, I mean,
because you're absolutely
that
right. There wasn't a lot of coverage, nor was there a lot of coverage on the...
And that was a major confrontation.
Yes.
I mean, the police force that was on that scene, from the photos I saw anyway, they were overwhelmed by...
Yes, they were.
By the
yes,
number of people that were in their face at that event. But I didn't hear anything about it.
And you have to understand that a couple of days later, which was a Monday, it was a Muslim holiday, and we reported it exclusively here. No one would touch it again when there was massive confrontation at MOA. Not talking about the crossroads in St. Cloud. We're talking about 2 days later, a serious confrontation in MOA, and that wasn't carried. And, you know, I kind of began to ask the question, what's up here? You know, I mean, what's going on?
Exactly. You know, why are these things being suppressed? I mean, and I think, but, you know, if I was going to just bring this down to a common denominator here, I think, you know, it's clear that, well, the Twin Cities area, Minnesota, for one, has been a real, I don't want to, a hotbed or a number, actually more from what I'm hearing, more Somali individuals are coming to this community than anywhere in the country. Okay?
Yes,
this is what I'm hearing.
Yes, that's
correct.
So that
being the case, I don't know why there isn't a natural kind of, gravitas to people of color. There are people of color coming from another country. But when you look at things like, you know, the MTN incident, things that have gone on in the Cedar Riverside area, things that have gone on at South High School, where there has been a huge, huge divide between the Somalis and some of the African Americans and other students at the school in that
Native
community.
Americans, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is there, you know, it's like coming in here and there's this already type of a divide and already when it should be more of a, I would think, an embrace.
You know what?
You
we need to
so.
Make
you,
America
you
great
think
again.
So. Yes. Is that you, Mr. Allen? Are you back?
Yes, I'm here trying to help you guys make America great again.
Yes, well, you know, that's
we
one
appreciate
thing.
That, Mr. Really
both of your names go together, Donald and Donald. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
oops.
Okay.
Make America great once again.
Yeah, okay.
But I think that our caller M has really touched on some issues, if you will, and some soft underbellies. A level of discomfort because, see, black Americans have really been very kind, with regards to what we've kind of been feeling. I noticed maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was hearing so much disrespect shown to us about the fact that we had not fought any kind of battles. I have to remind some people who are new to our country that over 70 million of us perished, if you will, in the great tracks across the North Atlantic in chains and shackles and et cetera. 70 million over a period of 100 and some years. And so, you know, I when people tell me that we haven't stood up and fought and et cetera, and I think of all the sons and daughters of the African that have lost their lives, if you will, been denied opportunity of life and et cetera. And I think that we've been rather tolerant. I hate to use that word in this context, but I think we've been very, very tolerant in this kind of insults that are being hurled towards us. I mean, people always talking about respect. There was a great artist by the name of James Brown who made that an almost a national rite of passage, if you will, respect. And I think it's time for us, M and Mr. Allen, I think it's time that we, maybe in this Janae Wells situation, that we put our foot down as a collective community and indicate that we will not continue to be disrespected.
And, you know, Mr. Edwards, all I'm saying, if I'm downtown Minneapolis in a suit, I want to be picked up in the cab. I don't want to be.
You've talked about that before, Mr. Allen. You're on point.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened to me one too many times to the point where I will just get on a bus and go down the street. I mean, a minimum taxi ride is $5. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take me, you know, right down the street. And I had one, you know, and I my neighbors are Somali, okay? And I don't have really
mm-hmm.
much problems with them. My neighbors, that is. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I went to one cab just less than a week ago, and this is like the third or fourth time this has happened, Mr. Edwards, downtown. I'm dressed to the nines, and I just want to go from Hennepin and 7th by 7 over to J.D. Hoyt's.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy reached in his pocket and gave me a dollar and said, take the bus.
Oh, that is insulting.
Well, you know, I
want to smack the case out of that, right?
Yes.
gave you a dollar.
And I'm just looking at him like, dude, you're in a cab. You're the first one in line in front of the Marriott. You're supposed to take me. I'm having an airport run. I'm waiting on an airport run. I'm like,
yeah, they always tell that lie. Well, let
me
tell you what
yeah.
you can do, because there are a couple of officers who write a lot of tickets on them. And I know we're coming up on the finish time, but one of the things you have a right to do if a refused service is to find a police officer, or actually to ask the doorman to step forward and take, along with you, take down the license number and the number of the cab and report it to the city's cab inspector. Mm-hmm. And that person will not be driving a cab in this city. Because I'm hearing, gentlemen, I'm hearing too many of the same kinds of complaints, and I just don't quite understand it.
Hmm. I wonder who drives the cabs these days. I wonder who's really driving the cabs.
I know one thing. I know there's beginning to be a reduction in who's been driving the cabs. And there's a reason for that, and it has to do with the complaints. You know, gentlemen, when we first saw it, was when they changed the policy. And Mr. Allen, you're at that facility right now as we speak, when they changed the policy.
Well, I'm leaving now, but yes.
At the airport.
Well.
Remember that, gentlemen? They changed the whole thing. Anyways, M, want to thank you. We're completing our time. Hopefully you'll be able to join us next week. And, Mr. Allen, we will continue to keep our eye on the prize, if you will, and we will pray for peace in our beloved city. We cannot afford to lose any more people, and we certainly cannot afford to lose infant babies to gunfire and to violence and have so much silence. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the Ron and Don Show. Mr. Edwards, we'll be back the same bat time, same bat station next week. You guys have a great week, and we're signing off.
All right. Thank you.